Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast Wednesday edition. I'm here with my friend Chris Vaccaro.
Yes, you are.
Who's okay? Yeah, thanks for coming.
I never
in.
Know if you're going to keep going or not. I'm sorry.
And our friend Brandon Marianne Lee.
Hi. I'm going to jump in.
Thank you very much for reading the cue. You know what? From now on, I'm introducing Brandon first.
Oh, that would be great. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. So fun show today. And fun fact about the show, Vaccaro was complaining, as is tradition. I don't remember how this came up.
Brandon, did you like how you got the rundown like at midnight last night? Was that professional of Nando?
This is why it's funny. So what we did was Vaccaro complained that he thought it was going to be a super deep show, and if I mentioned Tavon Austin, he'd quit.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a fake rundown and sent it to him and Brandon, and we have a real rundown that we're actually going to do.
So I knew it. I so knew it was fake. It was fake. That's a good
5 minutes
one.
After, actually 5 minutes after myself, you got it.
You know what, Nando? I give you credit when you do funny stuff. That was – so just so the listeners at home, I got a rundown late last night. It was like of 20 – players that their ADP is like over 300. None of you are drafting these guys. It would have been a complete disaster. I said, people are really gonna care about talking about these 20 players for an hour? And I said, you know what? This is a Nando. Nando's pulling a joke here. So whatever. Good one. You got me. But not really.
All right.
But not really.
You know what? Let's consider an early birthday gift to our friend Chris Vaccaro.
I do want to say, though, he told me that he was going to do this. And still when I got it, I gasped when I saw Tavon Austin as the first person. I was like, oh, my. Are we talking about him, really?
But do you see how far like, he goes to get a laugh and a joke? He wrote a rundown for 20 no-name players.
Deontay Foreman.
Just
to get a rise
out of me. Just to try and get a rise out of me. Like, he actually put in effort for this. Amazing.
It worked.
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
Let's get to the real rundown, which I'm actually surprised. You don't read the rundown anyway, so I'm surprised you actually looked at it. But today's show is all about building your bench. And I think this is Chris Vaccaro special in a way. And I love that Brandon's here too, because you two seem to, at least for the first couple of shows, have differing views on things. And I think it brings up a lot of good little arguments here, friendly arguments, on how people approach the game. So, building your bench. After the first 7 rounds, how are you building your bench? There's a little bit of strategy. We're going to get in some players who are around, ADPs like 80 to 120 to 140-ish, just to get a taste of how we're chasing this. But I wanted to lead with Vaccaro, because we've been talking a lot about the zero RB strategy, or even like the bell cow.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you're building your team through the first, I'd say, 7 rounds. I'm just counting it as quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, and a flex. I'm not really doing DSTs and kickers because people pick them last. How do you approach your bench? Here's just a simple general question. How do you approach building your bench once the bench stuff starts hitting? After you have your 4 wide receivers like you like to do, a couple running backs, your quarterback that you get kind of in the middle, your tight end you get whenever. Are you building up a bunch of running backs to make up for the fact that you got, relatively weak ones in the draft? Are you not worrying about that and just going for the best values? Like, if someone significant kind of slips, like, oh, well, I've got 3 wide receivers on my bench, but they're awesome. How do you build your bench if you're going after that specific strategy?
This is a very tough question, Nando, to answer, because it's all about what your first 7 rounds look like. If I'm a zero RB guy, and I'm loaded at wide receiver early, well then, yeah, my bench is going to have a lot of handcuffed running backs. Whereas, if I waited on quarterback, my quarterback, I might hit 2 in the middle rounds. So I'll have my starter and then like a decent backup that I follow up real quick on right after that. every strategy is different based off of your beginning build. But to answer your question, when I hit that 8th, 9th, 10th rounds, I'm looking to definitely get one running back with upside value. He'll most likely be my RB3. You know, we're talking the A.J. Dillons of the world, the Damian Harrises of the world, guys like that are in that range. I definitely want to get one of those in case one of my two bell cows, if that's the build I have, go down, and somebody with that upside, you know, built into it. And then, it depends. If I don't go tight end early, if I don't have one of those elite tight ends, one of the top six guys, well, then, one of those bench guys right there in those mid rounds is going to be a tight end that I try and hit on, those Noah Fants, Dallas Goedert of the world. I'm looking for the value. If one of those, nice receivers, I'm always going to have another receiver too, Nando, probably two of them right after those top seven rounds, because the receivers this year in that range, depth-wise, are very solid, and I want to have a nice wide receiver depth chart.
Brandon, how do you go about this? Like, I know, like, I think you're kind of like me in that we don't really go in with, like, name strategies. We just go in maybe, like, looking for value or building the best team. So I mess up my bench a lot, left and right. Like, I'm always just kind of like, oh, I love this guy, and then I turn around, I got four wide receivers. How do you do it?
If I'm not taking running backs early, okay, I just know intellectually that that's where my focus will be for the waiver wire. You can't just go into your draft thinking about today. You have to think about the future. And the reason why the zero RB strategy works in the way that it does is because they're, in terms of players who can make a massive impact from the waiver wire, nothing beats running backs. Because if they get the job, it is volume, and volume is king. So it's just, X equals X. That's just the way that it is. And to really drive that home, this is the list of the top 10 running backs in week 16 in PPR leagues, okay? In order. Number one, Alvin Kamara. Okay, great. We all drafted him. That's wonderful. Okay, cool. Then it goes like this. Miles Gaskin, Samaje Perine, David Johnson, who at that point in the season had been left, to dry. Jeff Wilson Jr., got to throw in the junior, respect. A.J. Dillon, J.D. McKissick, David Montgomery, Giovanni Bernard, and then at number 10, you have Jonathan Taylor. That is in full point PPR. There is not one dude there other than Alvin Kamara that you spent a ton of money on last year. None.
That's a rough list right there.
That's your top 10 week 16 running backs.
That is exactly why this zero RB craze is going on, and it's all over Twitter. You see the high stakes market people that are posting their draft boards.
Yep.
It's a really popular, plan of attack now for these guys. I just think people are going way too far over the edge. To counter that, to be honest, guys, I think the one bell cow approach is tops that zero RB, because you can get your bell cow in the first round, load up on receivers, and then you spend your later part of the draft getting the collection of. It's tough to replace two backs in your starting lineup every week. I saw somebody the other night post their high stakes draft, and it was the first nine rounds were all receivers and a tight end, and their first running back was like J.D. McKissick, like their RB1. You can't win like that. I don't care. Everybody says, yeah, I'll work the waiver wire. I'll, one of these guys benefit from an injury. It's just too much to overcome. Can you rely on that one big bell cow like an Alvin Kamara every week? It's a set and forget. He's going to produce. And then hope for one back to pop while you have a great receiving core and your tight end is elite and you have a good quarterback. Yeah, so for me this year, that one bell cow system over the zero RB, is definitely the way to go.
I just wanted to hit on something really quickly, and I just feel like we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't. Damian Harris, Vaquero, you mentioned, one of the bench guys you'd like to pick up. Hmm. Obviously, with that trade of Sony Michel to the Rams, that's how high up do you think he's going to go? We got him at 85 over the last week.
He's already on the rise, Nando. He was going, past ADP over 100, a couple weeks back. But, people are starting to look into this situation. They see a great, you know, top five offensive line that the Patriots have. They see Damian Harris as the lead dog. The reports are even getting better. He's climbing up more and more. His ADP is like late 80s now. But that was before this Sony, you know, Michel getting traded out. I think he moves up another half round, maybe a full round. I think he settles into that 75-ish range because, listen, running backs are getting a little, you know, we just lost Travis Etienne. That's another back. So someone has to move up from that, you know, that next tier after that. I think Damian Harris is going to be that guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, the number one thing you need to look out for is who is the starting quarterback in New England. That is the problem with Damian Harris's ceiling. If it's Cam Newton, there are no touchdowns. And he has James White. There are two strikes against him. That's why him going up the charts a little bit, a round, sure. But if he's going up two, three rounds, then you got to hope that they put in their rookie. Because otherwise, there's no ceiling here. There's just none. And that's been the problem with him this whole time, right? In terms of consistency and ceiling, we just don't have it with him. I didn't think Sony Michel was a factor beforehand, so this doesn't really matter to me. I don't even know why people are acting like that was a big deal. I don't. Were we thinking that he was going to take a ton of snaps? I don't think so. So to me, this is a quarterback issue still. And I will say that I think the more impactful news for Damian Harris is that Cam Newton can't practice all week because he's in the COVID protocol. And this COVID protocol is going to keep coming up this year. I don't think we're talking that much about it, but, you know, to me, if this gives their rookie a front row seat to being the starter eventually, watch camp notes this week. If he does well, then you move Damian Harris up. That's my opinion on it. Cam Newton's the ones, and James White, they're both tapping down that ceiling. Just too much for me.
How are we looking at Daryl Henderson? Vaccaro, is he, I mean, obviously, you know, this kind of sucks a little bit, but I mean, Sony Michel, running backs don't have to learn a system as quickly as, you know, if a wide receiver gets traded. How badly do you think he's going to fall? And does this actually push him into the bench? I mean, are we talking a bench guy now?
No. He's definitely going to fall, though. Probably, I'd say round and a half. People, you know, he was in that 15 to 20, you know, RB 15 to 20 range after obviously the elite tier and after you get past the J.K. Dobbins and DeAndre Swifts of the world and Montgomery's, you know, Daryl Henderson was falling right in there, you know, because of the no competition, could catch the ball out of the backfield. He was a top 50 overall pick with Sony coming in now. Twitter right now, the fantasy world seems to be very split on this off the bat. They think, you know, Schefter reports that, you know, Sony Michel is going to come in and be the lead back. Well, if you believe that, well, then Henderson is a no touch for you where he's going to go, you know, right now off the board. And if you still think that Henderson's going to be, you know, have his, you know, big role and catch the ball, and be there on third downs, you know, be a PPR back, then he's not going to fall too far. But Michelle's definitely going to play a role.
I mean, Henderson's got a bad thumb. I mean, that could just be like, all right.
And listen, that's what I said this morning to a friend. I said, hey, listen, we still haven't gotten the results on Henderson. Maybe they made this move because we're about to hear some breaking news that maybe the injury is worse. I know the results came back negative, but you don't know if this is going to keep him out, you know, a couple weeks.
Well, and you have to think, they already lost a stud running back. There's got to be some paranoia there. Like, at what point do you not get more backups just in case?
Well, they have Xavier Jones, who looks good, and the kid Funk. You know, both guys were getting drafted, you know, in that, you know, 15, 16, 17 round for guys that weren't really believing in Daryl Henderson.
That
and
was
they
what
thought
I was going
to
say.
Those two guys. So they have the depth, but you know, Michelle just comes into a crowded room right now. It's really a backfield that I want to avoid altogether.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I think Xavier Jones takes the biggest hit here because I think he was a big sleeper darling that a lot of people were like, he's going to be it. And that's great. Funk, not relevant now. And to me, just they're kind of like, oof, you know, just not a big deal. But if you waited on running back and then he's just sitting there and he drops to you in value, Henderson will be the guy. But again, this thumb, we'll just have to see what the deal is. And it may be, I think that, okay, it's negative, but if they're seeing that he's in pain, Okay, because there's the, oh, well, everything's fine. But then they're like, okay, well, maybe there's something more to this. That's kind of how these things go, is in layers. It's like there's the actual testing, and then there's the pain threshold, and where are we at with that? And then sometimes it reveals something else. So I agree. I think there's something going on here.
While we're on the topic of negative results, yesterday morning we wake up and it's the Travis Etienne news that, he's got a foot injury and he's going for test results, but the initial test results were negative. So I was like, all right, so he's going to miss a couple weeks. And then 3 hours later, all of a sudden he's out for the season.
It was negative for a break, right?
I really need to. Somebody sent me an article yesterday about, Liz Franks. Because for me as a fantasy player, as soon as I hear the word Liz Frank, that's it. I'm out on that player. I've learned my lesson through the years with Liz Franks that as soon as I hear it, done, off my board. So even if he was going to just miss the 4 weeks that they initially said, with a sprained Liz Frank or whatever, and then it became out for the season, I was done. I was already out on ETN. I have no shares.
Same. Because James Robinson is an excellent fantasy football player, and congrats to everyone, myself included, who just thought, like, this guy's too excellent to not see the field. So, I think the only thing is the problem is we just can't get James Robinson at a discount anymore, and that sucks. But
yeah, those days are over. He's a top 36 running back now. And
well, Tavon Austin's there, too.
Anyway, Nando.
Laugh now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do want to say this. That offense is roof. Okay? It looks roof. And I am James Robinson and no one else right now. They're going to have to drop for any value there.
I really like Laviska Shenault now. He's now jumped on my radar because of the lack of losing Travis Etienne and all that short game passing work that ETN was going to pick up. I think that, Chenault's the biggest benefactor of it. He was already jumping back on my radar now, depending on how long DJ Chark is out. Is the offense as crisp as it probably is going to be midway through the season? No. But I think Chenault is a real player in those middle rounds and someone that, people should be targeting.
See, and I would target Marvin Jones because I think they need a veteran there in a way that's like painful. I mean, they really need his leadership. They need veterans big time. When I watch that offense, I say to myself, this is just lost. And so I think he's going to take a massive lead role there. To me, that's who I would target late is Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones, like, will not go away.
He won't go away. He'll be there.
Yeah, just Marvin Jones is going to get 800 yards somehow. And they're all it's going to be front loaded. So everyone just scrambles to get Marvin Jones after his 100-year-old, 12 target, 8 catch, 120-yard, 2 touchdown game.
Yeah, he's 31 and a half right now. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I just feel like he has that veteran kind of groundedness that they big time need. They're using him a lot in the preseason.
He knows the system.
You don't need to love him. You don't need to love him. But if you're looking for just like some solid dude in the back of your draft, I think you could do a lot worse.
Well, he's 116 in ADP. I'm just running ADP on NFFC from August 20th until August 25th today. So that's about 77
up.
Drafts.
Yeah, and moving up.
Well, look, we're talking about benches. Marvin Jones is, to me, the definition of kind of like boring. And almost like a safety net. And if I'm grabbing him from my bench, I'm like, all right, there'll be some weeks where I can start him. And it just, I mean, I look at the players around him. I don't know, like Hollywood Brown's 111, Mecole Hardman's 112, Jamal Williams 115, even Gus Edwards 118, Devin Singletary 119. I'll even throw like Mike Gesicki in there at 121. And I just see like, there's just like all this exciting fun up. It's like these beautiful, tall, exciting flowers. And then there's Marvin Jones, who's just like a couple blades of grass.
What an analogy, Nando. That's what I think of when I think of Marvin Jones as a tall, beautiful flower. Yes.
Well, no, technically he's the blades of grass.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's right. I was... No, I mean, yeah, you're right. But Marvin Jones is the perfect example of, you know, like you said, you build your bench and he's your wide receiver five. He's the old boring vet. And on a bye week or injury, whatever, you plug Marvin Jones in. He's good for his 5 for 60. Maybe gets in the end zone, hopefully. But he's like your boring 12 points, you know? He's good old reliable.
Brown is, you know, you make these plays that are like high upside. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe by week 7 or 8, like, you know, maybe Hollywood Brown will be big by then. Maybe Mecole Hardman will have found some kind of role in the offense that's giving him, you know, 12 to 14 points per game. Instead of just Marvin Jones, I got a guaranteed 10.
Let me ask you both this, because they're in similar ranges. Are you the type of players that you are in that spot in the draft and you can make your wide receiver five a Marvin Jones, or you can make your wide receiver five one of the Moore brothers, the Elijah Moore or Rondell Moore? Do you want the home run upside pick with the rookie that could be, oh my God, here he is, Justin Jefferson of last year, or do you want the boring 12 points?
I mean, I would probably go upside, but I think I guess what's surprising to me is that Marvin Jones is one of those people that's been in double-digit rounds in every draft I've been in. So when I look at his ADP numbers, I wonder how that happened. So I'm having a hard time answering the question, because to me, once we're in double-digit rounds, I like to have one solid dude for bye weeks. And this is in full point PPR. This is the problem with full point PPR, right? Is that it makes people like Marvin Jones incredibly valuable, because he's going to get 5 to 8 points just on catches. They could go 1 yard, but it will happen, okay? So, yeah. And this is also where I get slot receivers, frankly, in full point PPR leagues, is I get them really, really late and they're my fill-ins during the bye week. But I believe that anything double digit, in my opinion, is upside only, because most of those dudes, if they aren't upside and they end up like cashing out, which, by the way, I have had leagues where like literally all of them hit. That does happen sometimes. You're like, yes. But if they don't, who cares? You've dropped them for waivers, like literally the first week. I think that when you're like, well, I could play them in bye week, you know, 10. Okay, but are they really going to be on your team week 10 still? And I think that once we get to that level, All upside all the time. And so it's interesting to me. I think it depends on what your league's like. But I think a lot of industry people stay away from guys like Marvin Jones because they are boring. So, and I do a lot of industry leagues. And so I think that maybe I'm biased here, because I'm like, okay, well, I'll collect him in round 11 or 12. Like, that's fine. But I'm not going to do it in round 8 or 9, which is where like what 111 is, right? It's like between 9 and 10. I don't do single digit boring. Single digit upside.
You know what else is interesting is that Vaccaro comes from a background where there are no trades, right? So like someone like Marvin Jones, you're looking at, like, he's on my team unless I make a free agent move. You and I, who play in a lot of leagues where you can trade, we could be looking at like a Henry Ruggs and say, well, if he blows up, I got a trade chip at the very least. You know, if he can't fit into my lineup, I've made a very good speculative buy low in this draft where I can trade him, whereas no one is ever going to trade for Marvin Jones.
Never.
I mean, there's no way you can dress him up. And I hate to, like, I mean,
unless you pair him up in a deep league.
Yeah, he's a throw-in.
Yeah, he's a throw-in.
But when you see a throw-in like that, you're like, oh, this guy's trying to screw me over. He's just throwing in Marvin Jones. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Fancy name.
So it's... I just think it's a different way of looking at things. Like the league you're playing with, the rules you're playing in.
Yeah, but
Marvin Jones has less value in ours.
I play in plenty of home leagues with trading too, Nando.
And what do you devalue Marvin Jones there? Because
I mean, I think it's just the way you build your teams later on. It's, you know, do you want to have the upside pick, or do you want to have the safe boring pick? Do you have some safe boring picks early? Or is it a lot of, you know, flashy upside names early, or? You know, it all depends on the build.
You brought up
the Moors. Boring early. I guess if that's the question, I do more boring early where I'm like, I know this person's solid. This person is definitely the starter. This person is definitely the dude. And then from 10 on, around 10 on, I'm like a wild lady. I'm just going to grab what I want. You know, I'm going to get it. But before then, I do kind of go with, yeah, this person is a starting player, which I guess now is risque to say that I want a starter, but I do. And I think they're going to score a lot of points. And I just go with that. And I think that there are so many good players in the first 9 rounds. I don't think I have to swing for the fences there to feel good about my draft. But rounds 10 on, game over. Like, I just pick people I think are going to be awesome, because otherwise they're just not going to be on my team, and that's fine, and I have zero regrets.
You know who, actually, hold on. I'm going to hold the thought that I just had because I wanted to get in. No, you know, screw it. Hunter Renfro has fallen so far, and I don't understand why. And
just that's Brandon last night.
All right. So thank you. Like, that's exactly who I thought. Like, in my brain, I'm like, that's my Hunter Renfro problem right there. Like, no one's drafting him. His ADP's fallen to, like, the 200s, and I don't understand why. Like, I look at Cole Beasley, and I look at Hunter Renfro, and I'm like,
same guy.
Kind of the same guy. Yeah.
Same guy. Yeah. No. Well, because he wasn't great last year. But I do think that it's actually my problem with Kenyon Drake is I think this is going to be slot receiver year. So, I think that Renfro is going to take a big leap this year and that they're going to finally start using their slot receivers the way they should. But they didn't before, though. That's why. I mean, last year was not good. He was not good. There's no getting around it. But he's just someone who's super solid and the team really loves. And he's been building. And certainly, I think he'll get a little bump now that he, like, supposedly, you know, owned Jalen Ramsey in a practice and everyone's having fun with that. And that's cool. But yeah, I mean, I think that this is the year myself. But, you know, you're taking a little bit of a gamble. But when it's your last pick, who cares? Again, I drop Hunter Renfro or he's awesome. Who cares? Like, it's one or the other. And I don't understand when people get all like, ooh, you know, is this a good pick? Get someone you think is going to be great. And it's if it's full point PPR, these slot receivers in the last 2 rounds of your draft, they're value. Because they're going to have a higher ceiling and they have the possibility of being the touchdown dude, especially if it's a quarterback that likes to dump off.
Yeah, it's like him or Jamison Crowder, like another boring guy. You know what I mean? Or A.J. Green, I guess. Like, what, you know.
Jamison Crowder's just getting no love, no buzz at all. It's like he's a completely forgotten. He's just a completely forgotten man. And it's funny. You go through drafts and you don't even see him drafted.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I literally had it in my notes where I was like, we need to talk about Jamison Crowder. And I want to talk about him all the time because, you know, and also like Zach Wilson doesn't look terrible, right? So what if this is actually like a functional offense? I didn't say fabulous, functional. And we got this guy here who just, I mean, you know, Jamison Crowder was excellent. Excellent. Very good football player. I don't understand. I'm with you. Taking him all
Jamison
the time.
Jamison Crowder's only 28 years old. Sit on that one for a minute.
I think the public thinks that maybe he's an end of camp cut to save money, turning this offense over. You see that Wilson already has, you know, the chemistry and rapport with Corey Davis, who they brought in. Free agency gave him a ton of money. You have Elijah Moore, who, you know, the world loves, and you know, the same thing, working with Wilson all off season. So. If you got those two guys right there as the 1 and 2, you know, they also have Mims. I don't know what role he's going to play. You know, what is Crowder going to play? The third or fourth fiddle? Maybe there is a reason why he's, you know, goes all the way at the end of drafts or undrafted at all. Maybe he's just a phase out. But the guy, you know, Jamison Crowder, we've seen it for years. He's a talented player when he can stay on the field because he's always banged up.
You used to love him, man.
I did. I always loved Crowder. Always found his way on teams, you know? Yeah. I was excited. Maybe 2 years ago, opening game of the season, he caught like 14 balls versus the Buffalo Bills. And I was like, I was all in on him. I was like, thank God, I'm right on this one. He's on 80% of my teams. He's going to be an absolute beast. And then he was hurt like all season long. So for one game, I was right.
I got an off the tracks question for you. Then we're going to get into quarterbacks. But I got just a random. You own a bar in New York City, the Greenwich Street Tavern. Amazing bar, awesome wings. better boneless wings in this man's estimation. What football Sunday is going to look like this year? You got a bunch of restrictions, right?
What's it going to look like? I think I hope it's going to be out of control.
It's going to be bumping, right?
Yeah, it's going to be bumping. I don't see any reason why. I mean, our football Sundays have always been rocking, so hopefully this year. Now we have an outside patio and everything with all TVs set up outside, so nice. All systems go.
What are the drink specials?
We have a full drink menu. I'll send it to you, Nando. I don't think the listeners want to hear it.
I think if they're coming to New York during football season, they're on a Sunday, swing by the Greenwich Street Tavern.
Okay.
Say hi to Chris Vaccaro. Yeah,
absolutely. I'll be there.
Don't you have Coors Buckets for like $35? Wasn't that a thing?
Yes.
All right. Look it up on the website. Let's go to quarterbacks. Chris Vaccaro wrote a column last week. Chris has been doing a lot of like team building things, and that's kind of a little bit of the inspiration for this because, you know, you're building a team, half your team is the bench, and I don't think a lot of people talk about how you actually strategize your bench. But you wrote this, you actually kind of taught me something, and I want to let you know.
Never stop learning, Nando. Even
if it's
from your buddy.
The way you draft quarterbacks. So I'm just going to pull it right out of what you wrote.
Okay.
I see this a lot lately. Everyone wants to get their hands on Trey Lance or Justin Fields this year. I have no issue with that, but here are two ways to attack them. One, wait on QB until the back end of the top 12 tier is gone, and then put a Tannehill Burrow type with one of them for the upside if your QB1 struggles. Mm-hmm. Two, draft Fields Lance first, and then wait and take a Matt Ryan Kirk Cousins type, a solid steady vet, later to hold down the fort until it's time to unleash the kids and go for it all. It doesn't make much sense or take your team to another level if you have a top 7 QB and then follow him up with one of the rookies, because if the rookies turn out to be what you hope, then what? You have to sit in your stud QB that you took early? Just the way I'm playing it.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd never strategized like that before. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I only take one quarterback. And maybe that's why. Like, I'm not a two quarterback guy. I don't think Brandon's a two quarterback girl. But you are. You're a two quarterback guy. So I never really thought about drafting two quarterbacks and the intricacies of how you think about it.
Well, again, to that point, you know, it's the type of leagues you're also playing in, you know? When you're in 20-round leagues, you know, you're always going to see everybody draft two quarterbacks. Some people even drafting three in the high-stakes market. But in home leagues, I still draft two quarterbacks, you know? The only time I won't draft maybe a second quarterback is if I'm the Mahomes or Josh Allen owner, and then it's nothing more than a, you know, round 19, round 20, Sam Darnold, Derek Carr type. Like that. But if we're on the topic of how to draft the kids this year in Fields and Lance, yeah, that's the thing, because I see a lot of people, they'll draft Dak Prescott or Kyler Murray, and 7 rounds later they take Trey Lance. Like, if Trey Lance is the bomb, you know, and everybody wants Trey Lance on their team, what are you gonna do with Trey Lance? You're the Kyler Murray owner. Like, he's your guy, he's your starter. What are you going to do? Take off your 5th-round pick, put him on the bench because Trey Lance is lighting the world on fire? You know? So I see that mistake. That's why if I'm going into the draft and, you know, if it's your strategy to try and get one of these kids, that's the way I see it. That's the two approaches right there. You either move up a little bit, make sure you build around a Trey Lance, Justin Fields, then wait and then get your solid vet in the Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, because you're fully expecting to turn this fantasy team over to Lance or Fields or Trevor Lawrence, who I don't know why he doesn't get as much love and hype as the Lance and Fields of the world. But for Lance and Fields, you're drafting them with the expectation that in week 2 or 3, they're your lead dog. They're your guy at the quarterback position on your team. And, you know, then you can let Cousins go or Ryan and let them sit on the bench. But That's the strategy behind drafting these upside rookie quarterbacks.
And it's risky. It's risky because you and at least half of your league mates are targeting the same two players at the same ADP rounds. So it becomes a game of chicken. That's what I'm saying. Who's going to take them off the board? And it's happening earlier and earlier because people are in love. And that's fine. Have your love affair. I think that the most successful way to do it is you take them earlier and then you get one of the, like you said, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, whatnot. Or you wait until Tua or Carson Wentz, right? You could wait that long, I guess, if you wanted to, and you could be like, okay, I'm going to look at these two dudes to start with them instead if you want to wait. But But the idea, but you're still going to have to move up quite a bit because someone else is also planning to move up for them. And then if they're taken, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Then you have to have another plan. So this is my problem with going in with these specific people that I'm targeting. If they're gone, what do I do now? And then you got to be comfortable with whatever is after there, because the Tannehills of the world are going to be gone just before then. Then the Trey Lance and Justin Fields is going to be gone. And then what do you got? Okay, and that's going to be your starter. And then you don't even have the upside of those two dudes. So you got to make sure you're timing it correctly, because not getting them and not getting the Tannehill or above is going to cost you. So you've got to keep your eye on it, and just, you have to go early. You're going to have to go early on those two guys. That's why I'm not doing it. I mean, I think I'll have probably 0% Justin Fields and Trey Lance teams, because this is just too much of a game of chicken for me, and people are just too in love, and I'm not willing to pay that price. I'm not willing to do it. But if you are, please do not get cute with your ADP. You're going to have to go.
Which is funny. And so in the last couple days of drafts, now the draft season is heated up. The last 3 days, ADP-wise, Trey Lance comes off the board a full round before Joe Burrow and Ryan Tannehill. He is now, Trey Lance hype has gotten out of control, and he's now the QB12 in NFFC high-stakes drafts. Burrow and Tannehill come in 13 and 14. So the strategy of, you know, waiting late, seeing everybody on the board have their starting quarterback, you get into that 10th and 11th quarterback range, you see that you know everyone else has a quarterback, now you got to go in and go get your Burrow or Tannehill. Those days are over. It's, you have to actually kind of flip it. People are moving up the board to get Lance and then back him up with Burrow and Tannehill.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, though. But if you look, basically what happens is that Trey Lance has gone off the board, and then immediately the next two people take Burrow and Tannehill. Because it's like a domino effect right now. So they're not going to be there. If you miss Lance, you're going to miss Tannehill. You're going to miss Burrow. Next dude's almost taking Fields. And then all of a sudden, where are you?
Right.
I just want to say that's the problem.
You better some of those quarterbacks late veteran-wise and be comfortable with a Cousins to Trevor Lawrence? I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, sure. that range, Matt Ryan, you better be comfortable with your team, you know, having one of those four quarterbacks or a combination of those four or five quarterbacks, because then you start getting a little dicey.
Yeah. So if you're at the wrong part of your draft, you could miss all four of those players. Mm. That's what I'm saying. If you're in the wrong part of whenever that little chain starts, you got problems. So, and that's fine. Just have your backup plan. But I'm just saying what's happening right now is that the Lance and Fields things are driving the whole middle quarterback section, and you're not alone, so get comfortable with other options. That's all I'm saying.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I want to talk real quick. I wanted to talk about it last week. And then these rookie quarterbacks, you know, the whole fantasy world is on fire. Everyone's talking about Trey Lance and Justin Fields. That's everyone's main topic in the fantasy community. But why isn't anybody talking about Zach Wilson? And why does he go completely undrafted as the one guy that's going to be starting on day one? He's in a decent offense with an absolutely terrible defense. So, you know, why does he go undrafted and nobody talks about Wilson when, you know, I understand the upside is tremendous with Fields and Lance, but Zach Wilson should be getting drafted, in my opinion. The kid passes the eye test 100%, was drafted before the other two. You know, what are we doing here? I don't understand. It's kind of my Sam Darnold thing. Like I was saying a month ago, why doesn't Sam Darnold get drafted in drafts? He's got three really good receivers. He's got a monster PPR back in an offense that's going to put points on the board. So those two guys, if you want to wait really late and play QB chicken and you get screwed out of that whole tier we just talked about, I don't have a problem with those two guys as a quarterback.
About Daniel Jones?
The reports are just too bad. And I'm sorry. Your boy Daniel Jones. Listen, you're going to go to war with Daniel Jones. And for me, as a Giants fan, I just don't think he's a good quarterback.
I thought you were a Jets fan.
Wow. Get to know your friends.
I'm joking, man. Sorry. It's Needle Vaquero Day. Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is that Zach Wilson has an athletic skill set, but he isn't as predominantly running quarterback as the Lance Fields things, right?
Sure, so, but like, he's not a statue either. He's not a statue.
Oh,
either.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And I think it's being undercut. I think it's a Ryan Tannehill situation, where if you actually look at what Ryan Tannehill does with his feet, he's one of the better quarterbacks. He's not a running quarterback. No one would ever call him that. Mm-hmm. But look at what he's doing on his feet for fantasy. And if Zach Wilson can replicate that in any which way, shape, or form, you're completely right. And I think that certainly the floor for Zach Wilson is way higher because, A, he's actually the starter. And then, B, his team wants him to be the starter. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, these other teams want to hold back these guys for whatever reason. I'm not going to get into the real football issue here or reasoning, but for the fantasy reasoning, I don't love it. I don't love this concept. But, hey, people are doing it, and that's fine. But I'm with you. I think that Zach Wilson, I have him as my third quarterback in Superflex leagues, I think, like three times, and I feel great about it.
Yeah, I was a big Zach Wilson best ball drafter as my third quarterback because I don't know why in best ball people don't draft. I see too many best ball builds all summer long with just two quarterbacks. And to me, I don't understand people's strategy with that. You know,
same.
I'll draft four and five quarterbacks. Like, you don't set a roster. So, you know, in 35 round drafts, pile on some starting quarterbacks. As many starting quarterbacks you can get on your roster late, do it. You know? You don't have to set it.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Right. I'll always have four starting quarterbacks on my draft champion teams for football.
How many defenses?
Two.
See, I do three defenses.
No, I mean, we could get into that, but...
I mean, we could do a best ball show next week if that's your
request.
Well,
best ball season's over pretty much.
Best ball will be done. Yeah, you're
best
right.
Best ball
good
season's
point.
Done.
We should do it. We can do one. We can do one, a 1 minute timer one. Mm. Three of us, DVR, grab some other people.
We could do a 1 minute timer regular draft.
I haven't done yet. Come on, Brandon. Who's got time to set lineups? Do you?
No.
Vaquero might on the beach.
On the beach. Yeah. He's having a good life.
I've never met someone who loves setting lineups as much as Chris Vaccaro.
I really
He's
do.
The greatest fantasy partner.
This is the best time of the season. I literally have a draft. I'm taking a nice little short vacation, and then I come back, and I think I have a draft 17 nights in a row.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be good too. I don't do a lot of early drafts, though, but yeah. This is my season, too. I agree. I understand the love for early drafts, and they're really great, but it's mostly best ball, and it's more practice, in my opinion. I know that sounds terrible, but all of my home leagues, my money leagues, everything is now, and I love it.
Shout out to NFFC, by the way, for sponsoring the Athletic Best Ball Challenge.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I think we ended with like 1,500, maybe 2,000 people playing.
Wow.
We had to cap it at 2,000.
Really? Nice.
I don't know if we hit that number, but I mean, like, I think after day one, we had 800. So
fantastic.
We hadn't even pushed it yet. So yeah, NFFC is good stuff. By the way, don't get in. I feel like we got to remind people once in a while, like, don't get intimidated by like Vaccaro high stakes life, because you can get drafts for like $25 in there.
Yes. No, that, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I know I talk high stakes and everything like that, but you know, these high stakes markets, they have price points at every price point, $25 leagues, $50 leagues, wherever you're comfortable playing, you know, all the way up to, the high dollar amounts. But there's something for everybody and all types of formats too. There's keeper leagues now, there's, you know, the draft champions, the cut lines, the 10 team cut lines, the 12 team leagues. So there's something for everybody in the high stakes market. Don't get scared away because of high stakes, term.
It's also a really good way to get used to the settings. So you can do a year at 25, and then next year you do 50 or whatever. And then you get more and more confident because you are more in tune with those league settings, because each of them have different settings. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you understand. I'm going to preach that all year. I always say, know your league settings. It's incredibly important. And then you can just kind of work it up, and then it's not intimidating at all.
Also, it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. I put a list of players down here who were between like 80 and 144 as we kind of just wrap up the show.
Bang, boom.
Well, I don't know. We got Antonio Brown. Since Vaccaro doesn't have a copy of the rundown, it's Antonio Brown, Damian Harris, Michael Gallup, Kenyon Drake, Corey Davis, Marquise Brown, Devin Singletary, Philip Lindsay, Marquez Callaway, who's probably shooting up this list anyway as we speak, and Rashad Penny. And it just seemed like a group of players. As I was going down that list, I'm like, they're just interesting and maybe not exactly like lightning rods, might be giving them too much credit, but I think they have split. Like Michael Gallup. Right, for instance, Brandon, like Michael Gallup, I don't get him, what his value is. It seems like he could wildly swing into like, there's still a shot he could be Dallas's number one receiver, but there's also a shot he could be like Dallas's number four, right?
Is there
like,
a shot for him to be number one?
No, isn't. Don't listen to
Nando. You don't think so?
No. It's either CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper, and the only way that it's not CeeDee Lamb is if he gets hurt, in my opinion. It's probably going to be CeeDee Lamb. Then it's Amari Cooper, who's going to be just a solid vet that's always catching balls. You do you, Amari. Good for you. And then it's Gallup, which is why, to me, Gallup is a non-starter. To me, the obvious ones in this list that I'm definitely drafting everywhere is Corey Davis. I think that's been quadruple proven. You know, I mean, every preseason, every camp.
Davis, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Right? He's unanimous on the show.
Well, do you have eyes? Do you watch football? The answer is Corey Davis. And then the next one's Philip Lindsay. Sorry, guys. Oof. That is the running back to take late. I don't know how he's going this late still. I don't get it.
Oof. I don't know about that one, Brandon, but we'll let the season play out.
I'm telling you, that man's work ethic is insane.
I'm telling you.
And I know that he had a tough Saturday
garbage
night, but I'm all in.
All right.
I'm all in.
All right. Listen, real quick, with all the names that stood out to me, you know, obviously Antonio Brown and Gallup, I'm bringing it up because it's very similar situations, right? We have big time offenses. They're looked at as the number three in their offense. Why you're drafting these guys at where they're going is, first off, you know, they're going to play a nice role in both their offenses. They're going to contribute and be solid players in your fantasy lineup standalone. But man, oh man, if a Godwin or Evans went down, or a Lamb or Cooper goes down, misses time, everything, these guys get elevated into wide receiver two territory on your fantasy team. So there's kind of, you know, they're already in the great offenses. They're one step away from being the big home run pick to me.
What is the downside of Michael Gallup? Because, like, he's a year removed from 1,100 yards. I know CeeDee Lamb was
the downside
there
is last year. I mean, yeah, you're getting Dak back, you know, he could be the third fiddle in the offense, and he could be the 4-for-40 guy every week. That's the downside. But, you know, he's moving into the slot a lot. They're moving him around. Last year, he was just the guy to line up outside, send him down the field every single time, while Cooper and Lamb ate underneath and got all the targets and everything, and Gallup would just get the deep ball thrown to him here and there. And then, you know, obviously Dak goes down in week 4 or 5 and the season falls apart for Gallup as well. But if you remember coming into last season, Gallup was, you know, everyone's darling. Everybody loved trying to get their hands on Gallup. So yeah, but that was before
season.
But what people didn't know was that CD Lamb was going to be what he is going into last year. So, you know, that's
the reason why no one wants them is because only 3 times all last season in half point PPR, okay, was he above wide receiver 34.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
Only 3 times. Yeah, so like it's hard to trust someone like that, and that's why I don't understand number 95. No, he's double round dude only to me. I understand that if something were to happen to someone, but I'm not going to count on that. I don't like to draft counting on someone getting hurt. And I think that if I'm going to do that, it's going to be Antonio Brown over Gallup, because for instance, Pro Football Focus actually gave a grade, you know, the overall grades of 2020 for all the wide receivers. Antonio Brown actually graded out as the 10th best in the entire league. You know, I mean, and it's an interesting thing where he's still a pretty, you know, excellent football player. You know, in terms of like during his last 4 games of the season, they had their bye week late. Remember, it was week 13 last year. He scored over 13 points per game in PPR leagues all but once. And that time it was 9.9 points. That's not like great. But if we're talking about guys that can fill in, the problem is he's going at 83, right? He also has 0 drops. I mean, he does still have the skill set. But the other two people ahead of him, it's just, it's hard. So to me, if I could get him in the double digit rounds, then yeah, again, but I think that the perception of where they're going is the problem. It's not that there's not potential there, that they could break out, but I don't want to have to take him as a starter, basically. Number 83, that's the 7th round. No. I'm not taking the wide receiver 3 on any team in the 7th round.
He goes even higher than that in the high stakes market. He goes in the 60s. He goes in the 60s now in every high stakes draft. People are, you know, they're betting on the talent. So it's,
if you read Chris's column today, Antonio Brown's surging.
Yeah. Big time.
Is that because the other two people stopped playing football? I don't understand.
No, it's because of the offense. You got a legend.
Look, I can make the same argument with Gallup. I think, can Gallup be a sleeper, or is he too good to be a sleeper?
No, it's I don't know. Anybody that's getting drafted in the top 100 is not a sleeper. So let's put that to rest.
You don't make these rules.
Well, yeah. On this show, I do.
To me, I think sleepers are double-digit rounds. I mean, I agree. I even go farther than that. I think it's double-digit rounds or, like, no go. I think that the problem, though, is that the last time I looked, I'll look again, but I think it's been 20 years since there's been 3 wide receivers in the top 25.
It's tough to do.
From a single team.
No, it's tough to do.
So what we're saying is that either Godwin or Evans is not going to be in the top 25. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a stretch to me.
I'm going to see what Michael Gallup's player prop is on the betting sites.
Michael Gallup is a perfect player for you, Nando.
He really is.
This is really your
guy. Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton, who was in the rundown. That's the perfect player for Nando. Don't give him Michael Gallup. Give him Darius Slayton.
It really is Dante Foreman, though. And maybe a little Tavon Austin. But we'll get into that next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
During our best
next
show.
Week, you know, we'll be right in the heart of draft season, you know, and like I said, this is it. We're here now. So get ready for all your drafts, people. Hopefully we helped you. And, you know, next week it's go time.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Well, Chris just brought us out.
And also, I just wanted to throw in, it was in the original.
That Nando, huh? I just caught myself like I was wrapping up the show. I was like, wait, what am I doing?
Make sure you check out theathletic.com.
No, I'm just saying, because next week's show, we will be
shout
right in the heart
Manscaped.
Of draft week. So it's here.
It is. I did want to say, though, in the joke outline, I do want to give Josh Palmer a high five. I'm drafting him everywhere. And the note next
that,
to it was,
I
know
really
nothing about him.
Yeah, I did that just to get him really angry. I know.
I can't believe how much time you put into that. You wrote a 20-person fake rundown.
I wish there was a way to post this somewhere. It's so funny, this fake rundown. It's really good. God.
I think I could post it on Twitter.
Darius Slayton. Has everyone forgotten about him? 246 ADP? Double exclamation point?
Oh my God.
It's a beautiful thing, it Nando. Really is. It was a beautiful, beautiful joke.
I give you, thank you very much. Like I said, I give you credit for it. The joke was solid. I said, are we really going to do a show off all these names? Wayne Gallman. Khalif Raymond. I think that was the best
Khalif
one.
Khalif Raymond, yeah.
Khalif Raymond. I said, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Absolute burner.
Some
also
of these,
can play slot.
Yeah. Some of these Nando.
I actually don't know if
he
can also play the
though.
Slot.
In reality, we could have talked. You know, Donovan Peoples-Jones is a hot name that, you know, right. I think he could be the number three in Cleveland. And you don't know how Beckham's going to be early in the season coming off his injury. So, you know, he's dominating camp. Donovan Peoples-Jones is like the, you know, the preseason MVP.
Chris, we got to go. You already closed the show, man.
Sorry, you're right.
You're right. Michael Gallup, over 875.5. Sure. That's DraftKings.
I'd go under.
I'm going to go over. Okay, we'll do a show like that. Anyway, we got to go. Chris, take us out. It's your birthday. It's your birthday week. Take us out.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in next week where Nando will bring you the list of top players over the ADP of 300 to discuss.
It was kind of weak. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
That's why I don't do it.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.